familiar are you with the school?
I've interviewed several people so far.
Okay.
So I think I'm a little familiar, but I would love to get a little tour, maybe.
Okay.
It might be junky now, but you know, because this is the weekend that you clean up. But we'll do a little tour.
Yeah.
Okay. And let me get myself situated.
Is this the bulletin board of inspiration for your students, or
For me and the students.
Me and your students.
Uh-huh. And so I started, and this is the thing about me. I started out with just a little bit of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it just grows and grows and grows. And so as things happen, like when Andre became the mayor, I just put his picture up there, mm-hmm. and so it just sort of grows. And also it has some of my favorite people up there, Nina Simone, and
mm-hmm.
everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody that's up there, I like them. I didn't get to see, do you believe I did not get to go to the exhibition at the High Museum? Because I kept thinking it was going to be over on the 22nd, but it was over on the 20th. But that's okay. I had the picture.
Yeah, it just means having to go to Washington.
Exactly, in which I do plan to go at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll work out for me.
Yeah. What did it mean having Andre Dickens being elected?
Well, it was important to me, from my point of view. I did vote for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see maybe somewhat of a younger person,
mm-hmm.
maybe someone who can have a better connection with a lot of the young people who live in Atlanta, who have moved mm-hmm. to Atlanta. And he has experience. And I just thought that out of the two candidates that it ended up being, that he would be the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think some of myself, I teach fourth grade, and some of them thought he was the best choice too, because one day I could not think of his name, and one of the suitors said his name. So,
mm-hmm.
so they were aware of what was going on in the city of Atlanta. So I think he's going to be good for the city.
Mm-hmm. And he's a product of the school system.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes, so do you want me to put my mat?
No, it's okay. It's up to you.
Okay.
Yeah. And, okay. Well, for the record, do you mind saying your name
no,
and what
I do
you
not.
Do?
My name is Sophia Shahid. I am the fourth grade teacher here at the Muhammad Schools.
Mm-hmm.
I was formerly principal of the elementary and the high school, and then I was appointed director in 2005. So I served from 2005 to 2012 as director and everything else that goes with that,
mm-hmm.
which means custodian, means mama,
mm-hmm.
grandmama, all of those things.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been here at the school?
I came to the school in 1986, and so I retired in 2012, so that's close to 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, my children attended the Muhammad Schools. It was not Muhammad Schools then, it started out being the University of Islam, and then after Imam Muhammad became the leader of this community, then the name was changed to Sister Clara Muhammad in honor of his
mm-hmm.
mother. That's what the elementary was named after, and then this community chose to name our high school after Imam Muhammad. So that's W.D. Muhammad High School right there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So a long time, seems like I have been here. Well, I actually became a member of this community. I started coming to the meetings in 1967. That's when we had our temple over on Bankhead.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was a process then called, you had to write off for your ex. The X would be after your name, so it's like your
mm-hmm.
last name is dropped and you have an X after
mm-hmm.
your name. And so I remember getting my letter, finally getting a letter that was accepted. I could not believe that the letters I wrote. And that was a form.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, now how could I make this mistake or whatever? But anyway, 1968 was when I officially became a part of the Nation of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I'm sure you know, in 1975, we made a change under Imam Muhammad. So I guess I've been here a long time. Over 50 years. Mm-hmm. Over 50 years.
I believe I've probably interviewed a lot of your alumni.
I'm sure.
So far. What has it been like seeing so many of your students grow up and some mm-hmm. still work in the community?
Yeah, well, one of my former students is now the principal of our school, mm-hmm. Khalil Ali. And he reminds me of the time that I suspended him. But it's wonderful to see them. We recently had one of our alumni to pass. We had her, we call it janazah. Mm-hmm. Her funeral service was last Thursday. Mm-hmm. And so I got the opportunity to see a lot of those students around the time that she had graduated. So it's good to see them, good to see them being successful. Many of them are very successful. And in ways that, not just because they have a career or whatever, mm-hmm. but they're just successful in terms of just their own individual selves. You know, many of them are married. Mm-hmm. Most of them married Muslim, and so they have children. That really, the children of those students are in the school. Mm-hmm. So actually, in my class, I have two students whose parents were my high school students. And so that's sort of across the board in many mm-hmm. of these classes. Mm-hmm. So it feels pretty good. Mm-hmm. It feels good. I can see the difference from then and now, but I think even now, these fourth graders that I have and the ones who are in my class now, I think they're going to outdo their parents. They're so smart. Yeah. Not that those students weren't, mm-hmm. but it's a difference.
Do you think that they're, when you said a change, is that also with the Muslim faith or how they're living, or?
Well, what I do find, all of the students in this class, and all of them are not Muslim, mm-hmm. but I find that all of the 13, I had 14 when her parent moved up north, and so it was just hard for her to get her back and forth. But the students who I have in this class, Muslim and those who are not Muslim, they have very supportive parents. And not that the others didn't have, because that was one of the ways that we were able to sustain our school, was because we had supportive parents. Those parents, they wanted their children to get an Islamic education, mm-hmm. and they did everything they had to do. Now, these parents don't volunteer as much as the older parents did, and I guess because of the times, or people have better jobs mm-hmm. or have jobs, and so they don't volunteer as much, but the children, though, they want their children to have an Islamic education. And they do all they can to make sure that that happens. And they're young. Those parents now are young. The ones that I dealt with when I had mm-hmm. the high school student, they were older. But these are younger parents. These are parents who just had a baby. Mm-hmm. You know, they have three or four kids. So, But they have, I think they have a stronger outlook mm-hmm. than maybe the older parents that we had. I mean, we grew up in the Nation of Islam, and so we respected the tenets of the religion. But these younger parents now, they have a choice. You know, all of them don't necessarily mm-hmm. follow along in the footsteps that we provided. And they're their own independent thinkers. Mm-hmm. And so, in turn, their children are independent thinkers. Mm-hmm. So, but they are children, too. I mean, they're not perfect, believe it. When I get home, first thing I do, change my clothes, take a nap.
Oh, yeah.
They're smart. They are full of energy. Mm-hmm. Full of energy. But I love them, though. I think that they will create a wonderful future mm-hmm. for African Americans. I think these children are going to be among the foremost leaders mm-hmm. for the society. They will be balanced. Mm. I'm going to speak about us a long time ago, and we were not as balanced as we could have been, but anyway. Mm-hmm. But these children, they just have access to more. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily material things, but just admit more access to knowledge. You know, mm-hmm. you can get knowledge. Mm-hmm. And these children actually seek out knowledge on their own. They tell me things. Mm-hmm. They bring things to me. And so I think that they really are going to be valuable to the society.
I love how optimistic you are. About, and maybe that's, and maybe I haven't talked to enough teachers, but I think I think non-teachers might have a certain opinion of kids mm-hmm. in education, but coming from a longtime teacher, mm-hmm. I think that's a wonderful thing to hear, that you're optimistic about what their futures.
Yes, and I fuss at them and this, that, and the other.
Well, that's a good teacher, too.
Yeah, yeah. So, but anyway, keep going.
Did you grow up here?
Yes, I did.
In Decatur or in Atlanta?
Okay. Born and raised in Atlanta, Georgia. I grew up in Greater Homes Housing Project, mm-hmm. which was later on. Well, you might know that area. It's very close to Greater Hospital.
Yeah.
So I was born at Greater Hospital.
Yeah. Grady baby.
Grady baby, you know.
I know.
Yeah, a Grady baby. Attended Young Street Elementary School, and after that, I went to David T. Howard High School.
Oh, that's, I know where that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's changed now, and it's now a middle school.
Mm-hmm.
But I visited the school not too long ago, and they were asking for alumni to come and talk about how things were and so forth and so on. So I think it's going to be a great place for students who attend there now.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Spelman College, graduated from Spelman. Mm-hmm. Then I went to Troy University. And I've started work on my PhD. And, you know, one of those starters, you didn't just quite finish. But I think I reached a point where I was satisfied with mm-hmm. where I was and knowing that I'm a student at heart, so I'll never stop learning.
Mm-hmm.
Students teach me, I teach them, and in turn, you know, the whole creation teaches you.
Mm-hmm.
The society teaches you, what's happening teaches you, so that's fine with me, too.
What was it like attending Spelman during that time?
Spelman, I love Spelman. I'm about to celebrate my 55th
mm-hmm.
reunion. Yeah. With some ladies. And Spelman, if you went to Spelman, you were hot stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You were hot stuff, and it was a wonderful experience. I went to Spelman several times because initially I went to Spelman. I left after a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Then I went back to get my degree. So I saw maybe several generations of Spelmanites. But Spelman was always about excellence, always about leadership, women leading.
Mm-hmm.
And so really everything that the school did really supported that idea of women being leaders for society. Mm-hmm. And not just society as a whole, but society in your home, society in your personal life, and as a Spelman woman, you know, you were just expected to excel, to step out, not just to be in the ordinary. And Spelman, their whole focus was to make sure that that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it did. All the women, I know many women who attended at the same time that I did, and they all did things that were outstanding. You know, they many innovations for me. First, I couldn't believe that I became a Muslim, okay? My daddy was a Baptist preacher, so mm-hmm. I grew up in the church, and I also attended Ebenezer.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy was a circuit preacher, so that meant we traveled on the weekends to places around Georgia, because mm-hmm. he had several churches that was the structure. Mm-hmm. You know, one pastor didn't necessarily preach every Sunday. Churches was, they shared. You know, maybe two churches, two congregations shared a facility. So my daddy, for instance, he preached in Lexington, Georgia, which is close to Athens. Mm-hmm. And he would always go there on the second Sunday of the month. On the first Sunday of the month, he went somewhere else. Third Sunday, he went somewhere else. So I think he went to Lexington maybe twice a month, the second and the fourth Sundays. But yes, you know, of course, my family was totally shocked when I became Muslim. But they're all for it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what it represented. Maybe at the time it seemed as if it was a threat, mm-hmm. because of the times. You know, yes. We talk about in the 60s, Nation of Islam was promoting, you know, separation,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. And people really didn't know a lot, the general community, even African Americans,
mm-hmm.
feared the Nation of Islam in terms of, well, maybe just being too radical.
Mm-hmm.
That was what they thought, that it was too radical. Because of, you know, some of the ideas and the ideals that were promoted.
Mm-hmm.
But here I am today, and I consider myself to be a woman of the world.
Mm-hmm.
No separation, but of course, a person who believes in that equal justice should be given to everybody,
mm-hmm.
equal opportunity, that no one should be should feel that they're less than or marginalized. But we see that. We see that happening. But so in my work with my students, I try to design my classes so that we touch on those issues,
mm-hmm.
but they have an understanding. They have the historical understanding. They understand, you know, what's going on in the society, and just give them some points of view that will expand them, not make them just small,
mm-hmm.
but so that they can participate. They can be participants. And our mission statement says that our goal as the founders of the school is to develop global citizens. That's what we want, mm-hmm. global citizens, people who are, you know, you're welcome around the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the value. You see the value of everybody in the entire world. So,
mm-hmm.
so that's all of that, my foundation with the Nation of Islam. There's a saying that says in this religion, what's for you will not pass you by.
Mm-hmm.
And I strongly believe that. The Nation of Islam was for me. I never saw that. I didn't see it coming.
Didn't see it coming, yeah.
But it didn't pass me by.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually helped me to grow. Helped me mm-hmm. to grow into the person that I like. Mm-hmm. I like myself because I don't want to say that I'm easy to get along with. Now, my sister's with them. Agree with that,
mm-hmm.
but a lot, and maybe some other people would not either. But in my head, I'm easy to get mm-hmm. along with, and I know I only want the best for everybody that I meet, and that doesn't mean that everybody that I meet that I'm going to get along with that person or whatever. But in my heart, I want the best for that person, and I want that person to want the best for me too.
Could I bring it back a little bit to when the Nation of Islam did come to Atlanta
mm-hmm.
on Bankhead
mm-hmm.
Highway. I want to know
it actually didn't start there.
Oh, it didn't.
It started on Edgewood, and it was also on Auburn Avenue.
Okay.
And I can remember when I was in, let's go to your question though, because I'll take you way out.
Well, it was part of, I'm just curious about that time or who brought it here, or who, like, what was that first meetings like what was?
Well, I don't know that particular history.
Mm-hmm.
What I do know of that early history is, and this is when I was living in Great Homes and a young girl, mm-hmm. maybe I was 11 or 12, but there was a temple on Edgewood Avenue. There's some stores there now.
Mm-hmm.
This is right at Edgewood Avenue near Jackson Street.
Okay.
And you know, Ebenezer's down mm-hmm. at the corner.
It's not, yeah.
So in going to Sunday school, people always said to me and my sisters, now when you get to that temple, cross the street, mm-hmm. because they'll pull you in and they'll make you be a Muslim. This, we would laugh about that even now, mm-hmm. that was the thinking of people. But that temple was there. And I would have to go back and check some of my notes to find out when that actually was. Mm-hmm. But that had to have been maybe late 50s and in the 60s. Mm-hmm. But I have to check my notes to see.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then after that, there was also, they also met on Auburn Avenue at the Oddfellows building.
Mm, yes.
So okay. They had meetings there too. But I clearly remember the temple being right there on Edgewood. Mm-hmm. So, and then after that, I guess, you know, the congregation grew and they moved to, were able to purchase 1225 Bankhead. But that's another story too. Mm-hmm. I used to know that story, but I don't think about mm-hmm. it. So I don't want to tell you anything that I have to come back and change.
So many of your, did many of your friends also join?
Or no, not many. As a matter of fact, in Grady Homes, there was a family. I'm looking at my apartment in Grady Homes now, facing out to Decatur Street. We lived on Decatur Street, but you had to go down in the court to get to the apartment. And so in the next building, one of my friends who ran track with me in high school, her family became Muslim.
Is that Quran?
No. Okay. No, Quran.
Because I think she says she also ran. No, I'm sorry. It's Jamila Jihad also. She said she ran track.
Okay. No, it was not Quran. So that family, though, their last name was Guilford. They lived in the next building in a five-room apartment, because my family did too. We had a big family. Mm-hmm. And they were Muslim. And so it was sort of a strange thing mm-hmm. for the community. But, you know, the Muslims in those days, they didn't care what you thought. You know, they didn't care that you thought that they were odd or different or whatever. Mm-hmm. And even Betty Ann, I need to get a tissue. Because mm-hmm. when I get start talking, I get excited. So even Betty Ann, though, she was pretty quiet and so forth and so on. She ran track. Well, she's a great track star. And, but, you know, we didn't discuss religion. We did not hold that against her. Mm-hmm. We just said, you know, just Muslims, just strange. And that was, you know, the extent of it. So, and in high school, I really didn't get acquainted with the Nation of Islam until after I graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. So I knew a little bit about Muslims. And I knew about Elijah Muhammad. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know about Clara Muhammad. But I knew about the Nation of Islam. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the brothers would be out selling papers and so forth and so on. So I knew it then. And then, let me tell you something else. That my mother, now remember my dad is a preacher now. Mm-hmm. And my mother, though, I can remember coming home one day and she had a record on. Playing on the phonograph. And the record said, the white man's heaven is a black man's hell. That was Louis Farrakhan. Mm-hmm. But that was not his name. I can't even think of what his name was. I'll think of it in a minute. But she was playing that record, and I was just totally surprised mm-hmm. about that, that she was doing that. I mean, I only heard it maybe one or two times. But there was an awareness, though, of maybe not you becoming a Muslim, but there was an awareness of the inequities mm-hmm. that were, you know, prevalent at that time. And so I was just surprised that my mother, I mean, I was surprised that she would play that.
Mm-hmm. Was that part of the larger Black power movement and awareness?
Well,
at that time?
it was beginning to be, mm-hmm. because what I also recall is that, you know, segregation was strong. Mm-hmm. I went to David T. Howard High School, which was all Black, Smith High School was off of Memorial Drive, which many, we got many of the books from Smith High School. They said Smith High School in the books. So there was not among that group of African Americans, I would say older, who protested or, you know, made waves or whatever. But the seeds were growing. It's even that record. That, and where did she get it from? You know, and that she played, and she played in the house, and she wasn't going to be playing it where anybody else could hear it. And certainly not my daddy. But but she was a remarkable woman. When I look back now and see, you know, just the things that she did, and she would ask us too. Like at that time, the buses were the buses were not totally desegregated, but it was getting to that point. And I remember we had moved from Grady Homes. We had moved to, I hear it, Indicator. And we would have to ride the bus. Well, when we got on the bus, there were quite a number of students who had moved out in this area. So we had to ride the bus, of course, we were standing up because the white people were already on the bus because they stayed further out, so they already had the seats when we got on the bus. But we were like beginning to be little agitators, you know, just stand up, just staring at people and so forth and so on, making people uncomfortable. And so the beginnings, I would say.
So where did that, you're wanting to agitate, where, I mean... I mean, I guess as young kids, you know, you
but I couldn't understand why I could not understand why things were as they were.
Yeah,
I just couldn't get it. I just couldn't accept it that I'm inferior. But show me why, you know, so forth and so on. So, and then a number of people that we were like 15, 16. So, you know, quite naturally now,
right.
We were starting to think that way.
So this was also, Muhammad Ali also, did he join the Muslim faith around this time also?
I think, let me see now. I know he was, I became a Muslim in 68, you know, with that letter that I had written. I think Malcolm X had passed like in 66 or 67, one of those years. And so that means that Muhammad Ali was already in the community because, you know, he and Malcolm were good friends. So he was already in the community, and I would guess maybe he became a part of maybe early 60s. I'm not quite sure. I just looked at the whole documentary about him, but I guess I just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I just recently watched the movie One Night in Miami.
Okay.
I did. And it's interesting.
I haven't watched it yet, but I want to watch
it. It's a great, interesting, you know, it's a fictional story, but just the conversations and
Malcolm and
it brings
Muhammad
me back what you were saying about, you know, other people maybe thinking that he was a little strange or just a little just odd, but he was, you know, sure in his convictions.
And then at the end, they say Muhammad Ali became one of the most beloved people in the world. People all over the world loved him because he stood up for what he believed. And that's so critical. And so I found that even among my friends, when I became Muslim, I mean, I could sense doubt in people's minds, even my family, of course. Because that's not how we were brought up. And, but as time went on, that wasn't an issue anymore. You know, it's more like, you know, she's a human being just like us. It's no, you know. So, even groups I've joined, like I joined the Friends of Scott Keller Library. Because I love the library, love books. And so I can recall that initially when I joined that group, it was, I could tell, you know, there was a distance. But I think that as they got to know me, then it was no difference at all. It was just, you know, some of them come to the masjid. When my husband passed in 2019, so many of them came. Well, I know some came because they want to see how do we conduct our funeral services, probably. But I have good friends in that group, and that's really the, I think it's people getting to know you. You know, they have to put away all the preconditioned ideas and just get to know that person, who that person is. And really, people, maybe they'll understand, but many people do that. We really have the same beliefs, pretty much. You know, justice, belief in one God, so forth and so on. I think with the Christians, the biggest thing is Jesus. You know, they feel like, well, you all don't believe in Jesus. Yes, we do believe in Jesus, but we believe in Jesus. That we don't believe Jesus is God. But we believe in Jesus and the work that Jesus did and so forth and so on. So
he's one of the prophets.
Yes. 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 And then he's, you know, spoken of throughout the Quran and the work that he did. So, but the average person doesn't really know that. They don't. Many people don't even want to read the Quran because they think it'll change. It might conflict with something that they already have established for themselves. But I think that the world is growing, and so many things are happening that we all see that we better come together, or else, you know. Those are my thoughts.
So I wanted to bring it back to Ebenezer.
Okay.
Was that when Martin Luther King Sr. was the preacher?
Yes, he was. And that was before Dr. King came. Dr. King Jr. As I said, you know, my daddy was a circuit preacher. And so sometimes when he went to these various rural churches, we didn't necessarily go. So my sisters and I and my mother, we would sometimes go to Ebenezer. But so my mother was a member of Ebenezer. And so we all were members of Ebenezer. We joined Ebenezer. So it was a family tradition. So, but Daddy King was the minister at the time that I was there. As a young girl, and you know, I was going probably maybe 3, 4, 5 years old, whatever. I remember vaguely getting baptized. But all of us went to Ebenezer. We all participated in the choir, the ETU, the Sunday school, the everything. And Mrs. Alberta King, who was Daddy King's wife, she loved my sister. My sister, who's 2 years younger than me, she considered her adopted daughter. So it was a very close relationship. So, and maybe you're leaning towards Dr. King, you mean working for him.
That's what was first when Karan mentioned.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
So, I and my sister, who's 2 years younger than me, she's like the timekeeper. I have to ask her, I said, now, when did I go over there? When did I start going and whatever? She initially was the first person to go to babysit because I was a spellman. I had something to do. And I couldn't go. They had asked me to take the job, and I agreed that I would take the job. But I couldn't go that particular night. So my sister went. And she tells this funny story that when this was on, this particular house was on Johnson Avenue. She said that when she went to take my place, that she was on the porch and that there was a dog barking next door. And she thought the dog was going to come over to where she was standing. She said she kept saying, Coretta, Coretta. See, Coretta didn't know that we call her by her first name. Whenever, you know, that's all I heard people call her. So we called her that too. Coretta, Coretta. She said, Miss King came to the door. And she told Miss King who she was, that, you know, I'm Hazel's sister. My name used to be Hazel. I'm Hazel's sister. And she can't come tonight, so I'm taking her place. And so she said, Miss King said, I wonder who that was calling me by my first name. That's her. That's her. That is classic Coretta King. So that was, so the next time that she needed a sitter, I was the person who went. Thank God my sister my sister wasn't going back with that dog. Next story anyway. But yeah, I guess because, you know, I was active in the church, mm-hmm. attending Spelman, and they needed someone about my age to babysit. And so that's how I got involved with them. But I knew her. I knew Dr. King. Mm-hmm. We called him ML. I'm just saying that's how it was. You mm-hmm. know, just spoke of them in that way. Not to their face.
This was senior or junior? Or
this was junior, junior ML. Junior. We called him ML and called his brother AD. Mm-hmm. But so that was unofficial. Mm-hmm. Officially, I started working, and maybe I started out maybe one or two nights a week, and then it depended on how busy her schedule was. Might would, you know, be three or four times. Sometimes she is, I couldn't even have my own life because I had to go and see about those kids. So that ended up, it started out on Johnson Avenue, and then we ended up on Sunset mm-hmm. Avenue.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I spent most of the time. And that's where I got to see a lot of people who would be coming in and out of that mm-hmm. house. You know, to see Dr. King or to see her. Mm-hmm. But it was a wonderful experience. It was a teaching experience for me. You want to know about that?
I want to know about everything. This is so wonderful stories, yeah.
Mrs. King, in a sense, you could say she was a businesswoman. Mm-hmm. And that's how she wanted her house run. And so you would probably think that, you know, you're going to babysit for an African-American woman and, you know, things going to be kind of casual. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. You came on time. You had your specific duties. Mm-hmm. There was she had a cook, Miss Walker. Mm-hmm. There was another lady, Miss Harris. She was there during, Miss Walker and Miss Harris were there during the daytime. I came in the afternoons or early evening to, you know, sort of bathe the children, mm-hmm. lay the clothes out, make sure they got the pajamas on, lay the clothes out, get them ready for the next day. But Miss King was, she didn't play. She didn't. And there was no, like, palsy-wowsy, none of that. That was not in the picture. She ran that house like, she was just in charge. She was in charge. Mm-hmm. And her expectations of you were high. She expected you to do whatever your job was, to do that and do it well. She wanted you to be presentable at all times. Mm-hmm. You work with your children, wanted you to use correct English. And she was comfortable in her role. She was comfortable in who she was. And she considered herself, in my opinion, she was not just an ordinary woman. Mm-hmm. She was something else.
She was the muscle or the brains behind all the...
But she loved that Dr. King, though. She mm-hmm. loved that man. And she would call him Merton. That's how she pronounced his name, Merton. And so we would talk about him sometime. I remember asking her once, how did they get started? How did they meet? Mm-hmm. And I think because he was at Boston University, and I cannot think of the name of her school, but anyway, she was in some type of music school. I just can't think of the mm-hmm. name of it. But anyway, we were talking, and she said somebody told her, I think, that he wanted to talk to her, that he was interested in her. She told me, she said, I don't, they don't think I'm talking to that little short man. That was about as much as she said, but she ended up with him, and she admired him, mm-hmm. respected him. You know, he was just so smart, but he's so kind, too. Mm-hmm. Such a kind man. And a lot of times, people find out that the person that they're idolizing, their humanity doesn't show through, but his did. Mm-hmm. He would make it a point to everybody who worked in that house, he made it a point to speak to you. Mm-hmm. to ask how you doing and so forth and so on. And he was just like a regular person in the house. He was not standoffish or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And so I admire him too, because I saw the real person. Mm-hmm. Maybe more so than other people, because here I am, I'm seeing him at least 3 times a week, but at the same time that he wasn't always there. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a lot of traveling to do, and everybody wanted him, wanted his attention and so forth. So, but he handled his business too. Mm-hmm. What else you want to know about the house? There was, as I think back, I mean, I guess at the time, I just wasn't registering that this is something historical.
That's sort of what I was leading to. Right. I guess sometimes you can tell someone just has, there's something special.
Oh, yeah.
Or there's something, mm-hmm. but, yeah, I mean, that's, I guess you didn't, you said you didn't register quite that it was going to be as
right.
historical.
Was, right. Not, in a sense, I knew that this was a very special person. Mm-hmm. But in another sense, now think about this. Remember when they were at the Dexter Street Baptist Church in Alabama, and somebody tried to bomb their home. Mm-hmm. But think about, I never even thought about just working in the house and getting bombed. It didn't occur to me mm-hmm. that something drastic would happen, but it could have. Mm-hmm. I mean, those were the times, and some people had those intentions. But it just didn't, I never felt afraid mm-hmm. for some reason. Maybe because I was young, I didn't feel afraid. But I was aware, though, of all the dynamics mm-hmm. that were going on. So I was aware of the riots in California and so forth and so on. Those things that just triggered mm-hmm. a lot of discontent. So I was aware of that. But within the house, I was not afraid. The home was well run. He wasn't there often, but when he was there, it was like he was the center. Mm-hmm. He was the center. And such a human being. I observed that. Mm-hmm. And those sensitivities are still with me of how he was, even though he had all this fame, and was getting more famous all along, but that wasn't going to his head. Mm-hmm. And then the people who were working with him, it was like they were a team. Mm. You know, Reverend Abernathy, Hosea mm-hmm. Williams.
It's John Lewis.
John Lewis.
Yeah.
Of course, I didn't see them as much, but I saw, you know, mm-hmm. Dr. Abernathy more, because they were, you know, seemed to me closer. But a very strategic man. And I don't know if you know this, but I've told this to my students, and I read it somewhere, that when Dr. King was 15, he made a speech. He was in an oratorical contest. It was somewhere in Georgia. And when people looked at that later, they from what I'm recalling, they determined that speech that he made at that oratorical contest was like a forerunner for that I Have a Dream. Hmm. Have you ever heard that?
I have not, but I'm mm-hmm. definitely going to look that
up. Look that up.
Yeah.
And come back, don't say, Sophia, you must have been dreaming.
I mean, but it makes, you know, so much of, you know, our thought, mm-hmm. we sort of have these through lines of thoughts mm-hmm. from such a young age or mm-hmm. ideas, and so... Right. Wherever they came from, who knows?
Exactly.
But it wouldn't surprise me.
Right, right. And have you read his speech, Beyond Vietnam?
I have not.
I think you can get that off of mm-hmm. YouTube. It's amazing. It's almost like another Dr. King. Mm-hmm. I happened upon that speech, and I was really, I'm really surprised. So I think you should read it too. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I will.
I can tell you another story that got on, you know, the StoryCorps,
mm-hmm. PBS. Yes, yeah.
So how about this? I told you I came from a big family. So my sister was going to some type of program at the Walla Hodge, which used to be on West Lake, which West Lake sort of led mm-hmm. to Simpson Road and all that. And she was, my brother-in-law was going with her, my other sister's husband. He was going to be her escort. And so, but when they got to the door of the big gala, or gala as she calls it, he had to have on a tuxedo, that kind of event.
Mm-hmm.
So how about she calls me? I'm at Dr. King's house.
Oh, I know where this is going.
You know? Does Dr. King have, yes, he does have a tuxedo. But can I, no, no, you cannot. Don't put me in that position. Please do not put me in that position. She insisted, she's older than me, she insisted,
no.
Please. And we'll bring it right back. I said, but look, they weren't at home. They might get back before you get back.
What if something spills on it? What if something?
Do you believe that?
Was he even the same size?
Yeah, because my brother-in-law was short.
Okay.
So he could wear it. They came and got the tuxedo. I was so nervous. I was nervous the rest of the night because I kept thinking that Mrs. King or Dr. Mm-hmm. King would come home before they were able to get that tuxedo back.
At least it was before social media where maybe they weren't, someone was taking a picture and being like, that looks very familiar.
They got back. Oh my God, they got back. Before they got back. And then the next thing I know, they're telling the story to StoryCorps. But I wasn't even yeah. present. So three of my sisters, they're mm-hmm. telling the story. They all know about it. They're laughing about it. And the lady, whoever interviewed them wanted to know, but where is Hazel? That which was me. Where is she? Why isn't she here? Why isn't she here telling the story? I'm glad I wasn't there because, mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't think I forgave them for that. I guess I did, but.
Mm-hmm.
Putting me in that position, and then you go in public with it?
So did Coretta ever find out?
No. Not that I know of. She didn't hear from me. And I was the only one. Hopefully she didn't hear it on PBS, mm-hmm. or wherever the story core was. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they think it's a funny story that needs to be told, so I just let them go ahead. And then guess what? One of my friends called me early on a Saturday morning. She said, Sophia, they're talking about you on the radio. And it was the story. They were repeating it. StoryCorps was telling about mm-hmm. it. But by that time, Coretta had passed, so
mm-hmm.
thank God. Anyway.
I guess the children maybe could hear the story, but...
Yeah.
Now it's just a great story, I guess.
It is, but I'm still not laughing about it.
Was it monogrammed on the inside, do you think?
That suit, handed that suit to them,
mm-hmm.
and it was out of my hands then.
So did any of your other friends contact you or try to get, you know, just hang out?
No, never.
No.
Because
no one really knew what the historical significance, I guess, or people were sort of knowing, but not,
right,
you know. And unfortunately, I think so much of his life is in retrospect now because it was cut so short.
Exactly. But he did and said so much in such a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I remember when one of his last speeches was, longevity has its place.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes on to say that, you know, that he knows that, in other words, that his life is on the line. That mm-hmm. I don't fear any man. And that's the speech where he said, I've gone to the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. And so he was aware, and I guess I'm really, you know, with greatness, you especially the times and how people were feeling, he couldn't help but know mm-hmm. that he could possibly not live very long.
Well, especially, I mean, the Kennedys and yeah. Malcolm X. And...
Exactly. There's a lot going on. We think a lot is going on now, but mm-hmm. just think about that period of time. There was so much going on.
Where were you when you found out?
Let me think. In a way, I wanted to say that I was in the Library of Spelman, but you know, I think I'm getting that mixed up because I think I was in the Library of Spelman when, remember when the astronauts went into orbit and then it exploded. So I get it mixed up with, where was I at that time? So I have to think. But I do know that I went to the house. I wasn't working for them then. Mm-hmm. And I do know that I went to the house to speak to Coretta. I remember that. I went on a walk in the hallway. She was back in the back bedroom, and I can just see her. Now she was in the bed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just talked for a few minutes because there were so many people around. There were so many people there. But I have to ask my sister, where was I when I got the news? Because she remembers everything. Not the one who I loaned the tuxedo to. Mm-hmm. We're not going to ask her anything.
So she felt comfortable to talk to you at that in that those moments.
Mm-hmm. She did. We didn't talk long. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a whole line of people. Mm-hmm. But you know, I just expressed my condolences, and it was a sad time. Mm-hmm. But she held up wonderfully. Mm-hmm. She didn't show that any face other than strength to the public. Mm-hmm. And that was her. That was her MO. Mm-hmm. That she was always going to be in control of, you know, her reactions and her actions. Mm-hmm. That was her.
It also reminds me a lot of Jackie Kennedy too.
Absolutely, absolutely, because Jackie Kennedy was the same way. Mm-hmm. And I sort of made that connection too. That Mrs. King, even I can just remember her at Dr. King's funeral service, how she was just so strong. I can remember she had her arms around Bonnie, the youngest one. I think she had her arms. I can just see that picture in my head. Mm-hmm. But no, you know, weeping and wailing. Mm-hmm. And which was a good model, I think.
Did you attend to the kids at that time?
No. I had left the house then. Okay. No, I didn't. And it was a funny thing that when I went back to Spelman after years from being at Spelman, Bernice, who was Bonnie, was in one of my classes. But I never told her. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell her. I talked to Yoki one time and told her that I used to keep her. But I didn't tell Bernice that, you know, I used to babysit her.
Mm-hmm. So was that the first time, like, with children and teaching, was that your first exposure to that? It's like teaching to become an educator?
No. I was exposed to that when I was 5 or 6 years old. Mm-hmm. I was always teaching people.
Were you play teaching in your class?
Yeah, all little kids.
Yeah.
Always. I can remember that so clearly. Mm-hmm. In Grady Holmes, out in the front yard, we were sitting, maybe some little chairs, maybe about 4 chairs, and I'm teaching them, I'm reading them stories, talking to them. And so I guess that I always knew that that would be one of my roles, would be to teach children. And I've taught adults too, in the Nation of Islam. I became captain of the women. Mm-hmm. It's called the MGT captain, Muslim Girls Training and General Civilization classes. And so I was promoted to that position. And so my job was to teach the women how to be Muslim, how to be a good Muslim wife, good Muslim mother, good member of the community. So a teacher, this in my DNA.
Were your parents teachers?
No, well, my daddy was, you know,
preacher. Mm-hmm.
And my mother did not have a lot of formal education. I think she got as far as the 9th grade. But my mother was a star in Grady Holmes. She had 10 children. And she raised, although everybody admired my mother, and she died at an early age, died at 53. And everybody knew her as Miss Jackson. But people respected Miss Jackson. And let me tell you what happened at her. And she was a teacher, too, and a kind person in the community. So many things that she was. Daddy King did her funeral. Mm-hmm. And her funeral was on a Monday. And Ebenezer was packed. Mm-hmm. It was standing room only. And he made a comment. Somebody lived. To have this church packed to the seams on a Monday, work day, mm-hmm. for African American, who could take off on a Monday? Mm-hmm. He said that he kept saying somebody lived, and she did. She was, you know, people came to her often for advice, how they should do this or do that. And I guess my mother also instilled in me that idea of teaching too, because in Grady Holmes, there was a Bible class that met of older women mm-hmm. every Monday night. And my mother would take me with her to that meeting every Monday night. And maybe I was 7 or 8, mm-hmm. 9. And those women allowed me to participate. You know, they had reading materials and so forth, and I could read, of course. And they wanted to hear what I had to say. And so that probably was, you know, those seeds mm-hmm. being planted to get involved, to speak out, to listen, to learn how to do these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Where are you in the of all your siblings?
Let me tell you about this wonderful thing. I'm number 7, and my mother told me this. She said the 7th child is a very special child. This is what she said. And she'd tell me all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that people say that either you're going to have a wonderful life or you maybe not have such mm-hmm. a wonderful life. But I have, just from learning, the 7th child is always been important in cultures. And so it was important in the culture of my family. Mm-hmm. And I guess because I had that in my head, I heard that, and I internalized it mm-hmm. for the positive side. And so, you know, I was outstanding in school, good student, most popular in high school, most athletic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Walter Frazier. You know, he used to play with the New York Knicks. It's been some time ago. Yeah. See, you're so young. But he became a New York Knicks, and he went to Howard High School, and he wrote a book, and I'm in that book. We're in the front of the book. Mm-hmm. But I was always interested in athletics. Mm-hmm. My mother made sure that I stayed busy. Mm-hmm. So I ran track, played basketball. What else did I do? I started swimming at Spelman. Mm-hmm. And it was, of course, a reader.
Yeah. What were some of your favorite stories?
Well, I used to look at my most favorite story when I was in elementary school. My series was Nasty Truth. Mm. And to this day, to this day, I love mysteries. I love Miss Marple.
Yeah.
I love Hercule Poirot. I love Columbo. All of them great mysteries.
Yeah. I always find funny Murder, She Wrote. I think she's actually the murderer, though.
My husband
she has
why?
To. She
Guess
has to be the murderer.
My husband used to say, why isn't there everywhere this woman goes, somebody dies?
Yeah.
But yeah, mysteries, and I love them to this day. Mm-hmm. Murder on the Orient Express, mm-hmm. you name it. Mm-hmm. The old one, the new one, and so forth. Mm-hmm. I love mysteries.
When you were saying that you're the 7th child mm-hmm. and that you were told you're special, mm-hmm. it makes me think that children and teaching, that when you tell the kids mm-hmm. that they're special, something happens.
It does.
And so I'm sure it happens in this classroom.
It does. It does. And I tell them, you know, learn all you can learn. We use what we call, I discovered this in just reading this and that about Da Vinci notebooks. Mm-hmm. Leonardo da Vinci, you know, he kept many, many notebooks. Everywhere he went, he would write things down. And so I started my students off this year with their Da Vinci notebook. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that not necessarily what I'm teaching you in class, but what you learn on your own, what mm-hmm. you go out and learn on your own, and that you can bring back, you can put it in your Da Vinci mm-hmm. notebook.
Such a good idea.
That you're so curious and, right. and you're not just waiting on the teacher mm-hmm. to tell you everything. You know, you're creating knowledge and you're looking at other people who have done wonderful things. And so many times they tell me things that I didn't know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I like to tell them that, you know, you're going to, we did a whole thing of sayings. Mm-hmm. And so what I like to share with them is things that I've learned over time. And so they had put the whole list up on the board. Mm-hmm. Let me think of some of the ones that I've told them. Well, I told them one, the patience comes from Allah. When you're patient, that's God giving you that. That's a gift. But mm-hmm. when you're impatient, that's from you. Mm-hmm. The other day, I had a former student to come who's studying math education. Very smart. She was at the top of the class when she graduated from here. And she was talking with the class about teamwork because that's our theme. And she said to them, Imam Muhammad said that we will go into paradise as a community. Mm-hmm. So one of, and her niece who happened to, is a member of my class, said, told her, Sister Sophia taught us that, also taught us that God's hand is on the group. Now, she made that connection. I mean, I was just thrilled. I was just, mm-hmm. almost fell back in my seat. Mm-hmm. For her to make that connection just like that, that his hand is on the group. It's not just you as an individual that, mm-hmm. you know, everything is about you. It's the group. It's the community. It's the global perspective. That's where God's hand is. Mm-hmm. And so, why can I think of my other things? I gave them all these old sayings, and mm-hmm. they just they'll say, if somebody gets out of hand, something, leave no stone unturned. Or this, that, whatever mm-hmm. it is, you know, whatever old saying that you can think of, they mm-hmm. know it. I don't. I guess their parents are going to say.
Well, like little old people.
Yeah, old people. Little old people, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or wise.
Old wise people, yeah. Definitely, definitely. And they are wise. I love it. And I also taught them about Ray Charles. See, I'm not mm-hmm. just telling you this. I want you to have a global education. Mm-hmm. They didn't know anything about Ray Charles. But I said, the parents can't complain. And listen, when it's lunchtime, they'll say, Sister Phil, you ready for us to put on Ray Charles? They'll put on Ray Charles. They'll put on Georgia On My Mind. When mm-hmm. he sings, you know, that's our state song. Mm-hmm. I said, the parents can't say anything because that's the state song.
Yeah.
and also, they'll put on America the Beautiful. So I'm just saying, it's, you know, I love it, just mm-hmm. from loving Ray Charles. But the fact that they need to know America the Beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not pushing the national anthem, mm-hmm. but America the Beautiful, to me, expresses it more mm-hmm. about who we really are and who we should be. Mm-hmm. So I just try to give my students everything that I have, everything that I think will help them. Mm-hmm. If they'll embrace these things and just make it a part of their being, they'll already be ahead. They'll already be ahead. So when they get to high school, it won't be like you're floundering. You can't find your way. Mm-hmm. You will have something that you can lean on that people have found over time. Those things have worked for them. And they have kept them productive mm-hmm. and focused and all of those things. Mm-hmm. I wish you could meet my students. They are something else. They are.
I mean, yeah, I think that's a wonderful way to, you know, we started in here and to finish up, you know, with this optimism and these students.
Yeah. I really can see in them a new idea, a new concept mm-hmm. of what the future can bring. I can mm-hmm. see it.
That they can become they can become a mayor, they can become
all of
a president, they can become
all of those things. They can now I have one student, she's just a little bossy. Guess what they say? They say she has the bossy virus.
That's actually a good one. I have not heard that, but that's a good one.
that's how they are. Yeah. They're just amazing.
Mm.
She is the bossy virus.
That's good. Well, hopefully she's contagious and gives it to the other kids.
Yes. Uh-huh. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
She can just let all this good, she is the good, let your good mm-hmm. outweigh your bad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she is, they're all wonderful students. And I'm very proud of them. They keep asking me, are you going to be our teacher next year? Because some of them I had last year, mm-hmm. just a few. And I don't think I will be. I think I'll just go ahead and take this incoming class because they need some help too.
Mm-hmm.
And to share what I know,
mm-hmm.
what I've learned, what Allah has blessed me to develop within myself. I want to mm-hmm. share that with as many children as I can.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that I was coming back to the school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was like 2.5 years ago. One of the teachers had left, and they were sort of stranded.
Mm-hmm.
Well, would you come just for, just cover this class for a few days? You know, that's game. You know, that's game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now it's 2.5 years.
2.5 hard years, too.
Yes.
Yes.
Definitely. 2.5 hard years. But it's so, what I also see, though, there are so many benefits to this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has had to stop
mm-hmm.
and regroup and rethink a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we would just kept going like we were going, never mm-hmm. conscious of this, never conscious of that, just going. But we see now that, you know, the world is bigger than you. Mm-hmm. It's not just you. You know, it's not just you. You have your part to play.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a big world. And the more that we can try to work together, work as teams of people, just mm-hmm. people caring about people, the better things, we'll see a better world.
Mm-hmm.
And not that our world is bad, but, you know, it could be better. And there are things that mm-hmm. we can do to make it better. Within your own self. You don't have to go all the way to the Ukraine
mm-hmm.
to do it. You can do your part
mm-hmm.
right here. Everybody can do.
Certainly.
Yeah. Everybody can get involved at some level.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my story. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
I think it's a beautiful way to wrap up. But I'd love a tour?
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Let's see what we can. Now, some of the rooms probably locked up, but let's go to the tour.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's go take a look-see. So, this is fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
This is the principal's office. I think his door is probably locked.
And this, I've been to the principal's office enough. I don't need it.
I know what you mean. So, this is Elijah Muhammad and Sister Clara Muhammad. I met Sister Clara Muhammad. You know, my students, the whole thing is they want to know how old am I. That's all, and I won't tell them.
Well, they think 30 is, like, ancient, so their ages are all off.
My student came. My mom said, you're not 40. I asked my, because he asked myself, yeah, I'm 40. I'm the same age as your mother. My mother said, you're not 40. Well, a real woman doesn't discuss her age. That's why it's called. Okay, so let's go down this hallway and see what's left. Now, this is an art room. One of our teachers, Sister Makira, who happens to be the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's granddaughter, mm-hmm. she works here.
Oh, wow.
And her daughter works here. And the principal is related to them. His mother is one of the granddaughters, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Let me get this. Yeah. So she is just a magnificent art teacher. She taught... She is just amazing.
Has the art changed, like the subjects? I mean, are the kids aware, and so they're putting their thoughts and ideas more into art?
I don't know. I really don't know. Let me see, what's this on this picture right here? Oh, this is this lady with the stamp. Ammonia Lewis. You know, there's a stamp out now. I think this is the lady. I just bought the stamps the other day. And let's see. Don't have one of my glasses. Oh, so she was an artist. Niagara Falls.
Went to Oberlin.
Uh-huh. But I'm sure this is the lady. New stamp, because I bought some African-American focus stamps, and I'm sure it's her. Because I said, I got to look up Ammonia Lewis and see who she is. So we're coming down this way. So, you know, Ramadan, you know about Ramadan, right?
Yes, it's coming up.
It's coming up. I think we anticipate it April 1st. So they're getting their all the stuff up about. And this was African American history, and women's history too. That was. This is the same art teacher. She just makes the best doors. But I like my own children to design their things. Emmett Till, I have a memory of him. I remember, seems like maybe I was 10 or 11, but I can remember when that happened. And it just sort of stays with me.
Yeah. I actually went to, of all places, I was in Greenwood, Mississippi this last summer, and we actually, just 30 minutes away is the grocery store. So we drove by it, and it's it's nondescript place, but it's just it's really a marking about it. There is a marking, but it's you know, it's just in the middle of nowhere, and it's just really hard not to be affected, especially driving through Mississippi, and you can imagine, and it's
right.
It was just really tough.
Well, obviously, it was a lot. My students have this Monday service in this classroom. So I do English, math, science, and social studies. And this teacher, Aisha Squire, teaches Islamic studies. And then my students get Arabic, as most of the students in the elementary get Arabic, from Morocco.
Oh, okay.
The teacher used to be here, but she went back home. So now she does it virtually. And it's wonderful. They're learning so much.
Do they come away being fluent in Arabic?
Not necessarily in conversational, but primarily they get the basics. They're able to read Quran. That's that's our focus too. Our former director wanted them to get the conversational aspect too, and they do just a tad, but not as much. She mainly focuses on their learning the different surahs and being able to read.
Are those the pillars?
Well, they know the pillars. Or the five pillars. But they will get that in this class.
Okay.
And we have a garden. Let me see if this door is unlocked over here. Now, this is our science lab. Locked up. They locked everything. So this is our garden classroom. And out here is our garden.
Oh, this is wonderful. Wow.
And she asked them to donate scarves so they hang on the fence. So that's what the scarves. Don't ask me what it's about. I don't know.
I was just gonna ask you what it was about.
I don't know.
Wow. So does each Do they have each a little plot?
And yeah, each class is going to have a plot. I don't know if she designated them yet or not. But when it's in full
strawberries?
Bloom, it looks really good. It looks really good.
Strawberries already?
I just sent them to the garden. Whoa! Okay. So up on the, going up those, and then this is the high school.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to high school too. And that's the soccer field back there. But and that was one of the first sports that our school engaged in was soccer.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing soccer when no other African American school was playing soccer in this area.
Mm-hmm. Where's all the food and the produce?
Well, the garden, the name of the garden is Produce, which mm-hmm. is an Arabic word that has to do with heaven, mm-hmm. or productivity. Now, what they're calling whatever, I don't know. I don't try to know. But it's in the summertime, you can come and just get the best vegetables and everything mm-hmm. out of the garden. They welcome people to come.
So this was a school before with the when
no,
they were
no
okay.
This was a funeral home before.
Oh, wow.
Willie Watkins, who have you heard
yes,
of him?
Yes, yeah.
He owned this. We bought this from him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the with the church too, or the former church, the sanctuary that was here before.
Yes, all of that, and we redeveloped it.
Okay.
So none of this was here. They added on these rooms and mm-hmm. all of that, and. So yeah, funeral home, but we made it look not like a funeral.
No.
And I don't tell the kids too much.
No.
What it was. Let's take a peek downstairs. Marissa,
mm-hmm.
when did you start doing this?
It actually.
I'm interviewing you.
I've done a few oral histories, but this one actually started. This whole series started a couple weeks ago, or actually a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. We had a Black History Month celebration at our. About soul food
okay.
at the DeKalb History Center.
Okay.
And so through there, I heard about spring greens
mm-hmm.
and it connected me. And then one thing led to another and I did, okay. I've done several interviews
wonderful.
So far. And so that's where I'm here. And I'm sort of keep going until
mm-hmm.
can't go anywhere, you
know? So when the kids come in the morning, they come here.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are late, they have to come through the other entrance in the back. So all the little kids come here. And they wait until a few minutes before the bell rings, they make prayer, and then they go to their classes. Or the teachers come down to get them, or they come upstairs.
Do they pray during noon or around
mm-hmm.
at 1 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
Is it
we pray
1?
It's 2 o'clock. Now.
2 o'clock, okay.
Yes, we pray the Thua prayer here,
mm-hmm.
and the full prayer. Somebody calls their name.
Mm-hmm.
We have students who do that. And some of my students do it also. And we go upstairs, so in the Musala, but it's locked.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't get in the office to get the key. And then now the Asa prayer comes later, so it
mm-hmm.
was such that you could pray Asa prayer here, but now it comes in at 5, and so we're out of here.
Is that because of daylight savings?
Yeah, daylight savings. This is the pre-K and K. This is my favorite class, outside of mine.
Yeah.
I love this lady. She's just she's miraculous.
Mm-hmm.
I think she has 18 students now. But how can you do all these things? How can you make all these?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it. But she is just, and she was a retired teacher too.
Mm.
So, I guess, you know, I don't know, it's just the love for her and her little kids or something. Guess one of them told me the other day, you are fantastic. other one behind her said, "You're marvelous." I said, "Okay, I'm just going to internalize it."
Yeah.
And I said, "I'm going to make it so." I think you might need to get out this door. And at one point, she was doing this by herself.
Oh, I can't, yeah.
But that's... she now has a helper who helps part of the day. But... And so this is where they serve lunches from. We mm-hmm. used to be part of the National School Lunch Program, but mm-hmm. you know, all that sort of went the way of whatever during the pandemic. So this looks like one of my students' book bag. I bet it is, because he was looking for it. So I think we have a grant from that helps us work with Supreme Foods, and so they supply the mm-hmm. lunches.
Oh, okay.
Now, let me pull this door up.
Yeah.
And this is first and second grade here. So their teacher recently left, maybe a couple of months ago. But so they have a new teacher now, so it's coming along.
Mm-hmm.
Is not functioning right now, but it used to be where those yellow doors are,
mm-hmm.
and over to the right. So there's an ongoing negotiation or whatever. I just try to stick with fourth grade.
What are the what is all this? What does this say?
All of this is probably a surah from the Quran, probably of the Bismillah. And I think one of our parents probably did this too. This is an artist who's always coming to the school and doing the artwork. I think someone's getting a little tired of it. Okay. Oh, let me turn this light. And we'll go to the high school.
So I have another question. Have you gone on Hajj, or do other people that you have?
Okay. I went on Hajj in 1982, and then I went with Imam Muhammad in 1995. We made Umrah, which is the minor Hajj. That's Hajj out of season.
Okay.
So that was wonderful.
Yeah.
He was a guest of the kingdom. So it was a wonderful experience.
Oh, wow. So that's still in Mecca, the Umrah?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I might get it on my TV movie. I usually turn it on every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, it's throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
But when Hajj comes, it won't be over. It'll be Hajj, which is probably maybe May.
That May comes June. At the end of Ramadan?
Yeah, but not quite at the end. It's a little, maybe another month.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the high school. I haven't been in these classrooms in a while. I think this is they do math and science in here. So, you know, our high school is 9th through 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if her room is, she usually locks her room. Yep.
because she teaches social studies.
There's a different aroma in here. I'm getting ketchup and
exactly. So,
which exactly. Is high school, I guess. There's
yes.
Maybe some potatoes.
Tin shoes.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
This is our jam.
Okay.
And so we were able to have a few games this year.
I think you actually played my alum, my
did
former.
Did we?
I don't remember. I think it was over homecoming, maybe recently.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think we won homecoming.
Okay. I don't think we were very good.
That's quite interesting.
I know.
Okay. And for the high school, so they were about to build Drew. They tore down something, and so we were able to get all the bricks. And so we use the bricks to build this high school.
Oh, okay.
Bathrooms. Science lab is probably, look, they got the countdown going. Okay, everybody's locked up. I think this is, I know one person does math in here, but I think the other teacher does. Teaches English in here too. I hadn't been over here into the classroom. Why did he come for a meeting? That must be an old picture of Malcolm. These are the offices. Let's see what's back here. I haven't been in here. I didn't know that they were doing, they had this up and whatever.
Where are students looking to go this year, do you know? Where some of the colleges and...
I have no idea.
No idea.
I should be get a little more interested. But I try to keep it to fourth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the years that I worked here, I was almost like night and day,
mm-hmm.
7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've learned to just stay right there. Even though sometimes, you know, people might ask me for advice about something and do that, but I would expect that they're trying to go to some of the traditional schools. I know somebody always tries to go to Spelman
mm-hmm.
and Morehouse. But I did hear a young man say the other day he wanted to go to Duke. And so I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell is going on. I'll find out. I'll find, just so I'll know. But I always love the artwork and the things that they're doing.
Did you join a sorority at Spelman?
No, they didn't have sororities. You had to do something different.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. And after I left, I think they started something.
Mm-hmm.
But you had to do it outside of Spelman.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have to pull my skirt up so I won't trip it.
I know.
I thought it was going to be really cold, so I wore my coat. Well, it was kind of cold when I left.
I think the,
home.
Yeah. I think the sun helps.
8 o'clock.
Sun helps a lot.
Yeah. So how many more interviews do you have to do?
This is sort of the end right now.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have any more names, but love to, if you have any suggestions or any... can keep going. There's no kind of deadline for this. There's nothing. We're just trying to add these to our collection.
Okay.
So this is a project that has no project that has no end.
Which is, that's a wonderful thing.
It is. And this is actually, thank you. Mm-hmm.